This All Things Therapy, where we are changing consciousness one conversation at a time. And I'm Lisa Tahir, your host.
Hello there. Welcome to All Things Therapy. I am adjusting my screen for a moment.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for the New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
I'm Lisa Tahir, your host. I am delighted that you've taken your time out today. Thank you so very much. My guest today is a personal colleague and friend. In just a few minutes, we're going to be with Dr. Ronald Alexander discussing his second book having to do with core creativity. So hang in here with me. He's a beautiful soul. Sitting with him, speaking with him really grounds me. And I know you're going to have the same experience hearing from his wisdom upon our minds holding the keys to our creativity and our lives. Before we spend our time with Dr. Ron, I want to share with you my website, nolatherapy.com, NOLATHERAPY.com. I'm a licensed therapist and I am accepting new clients. If you're looking to work with a holistic practitioner, and I would just love and be honored. I offer a complimentary consultation. Email me, lisa@nolatherapy.com. My kitty cat's trying to get in on the video. And then lastly, it's winter time. My skin has been drying out completely. Our skin is the largest organ of our body. It's so important to care for it. And that's where Blissoma Botanicals steps in. I'm holding up their sunscreen moisturizer. I have been using their products the last couple months. I love them. And as my listener and viewer, Blissoma Botanicals is offering you 30% off to try out their products, which are all sourced from nature. Flower blossoms, berries, barks, and roots are chosen for their specific properties. And Blissoma Botanical products contain 75% active ingredients compared to other over-the-counter store-bought products, which just have 1% to 5% active ingredients. And I'm wearing no makeup today. My skin is clear, even, and moisturized. Go to the link below. Choose from one of four skincare sets. You get 5 products. Thank you, Blissoma Botanicals, for supporting this show. I love your products. Okay, I'm going to bring Dr. Ron. I'm going to bring you into the video stream. Hello.
Hello.
I want to tell our audience more about you, Dr. Ron, because you have been a leader in holistic psychology for over 35 years, pioneering mindfulness and meditation. You are the executive director of the Open Mind Training Institute in Santa Monica, California. You have been on All Things Therapy before discussing your first book, Wise Mind, Open Mind, Finding Purpose and Meaning in Times of Crisis, Loss, and Change. You've lectured and taught all over the world. And today I'm really happy to hear you share more about your latest book, Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self.
Delight to be back with you.
Thank you, Dr. Ron. I remember when you were on the podcast before, you spoke about core creativity as a crucial element in moving beyond crisis. What inspired you to write a book entirely about our core creativity?
Well, several things. During the pandemic, I had a lot of free time because after 35 years of being constantly out on the road, teaching in Japan, Australia, Europe, Canada, we were in lockdown, which was akin to prison, monastery, ashram, cave. So it was a lot of quiet time.
Yeah.
And so I started to go through my files and think back over the four decades, now going on 46 years of working with people here in Los Angeles in the television, the film, the music industry, and in the last 15 years, the dot-com industry. And all of these folks are very, very creative people. And so over the years, many of them had a lot of struggles with bipolar disorder, depression, severe bouts of anxiety. Things like burnout is very common, as most people don't know, that when musicians go out on the road and they do a long tour, they come back, and then oftentimes their nervous systems and their physiological health go into a state of crash or shock because so much adrenaline and endorphins built when you're performing and you're touring and you're meeting people and you're on the go for anywhere from 2 months up to 1 or 2 years.
Some of
the big acts go out. And so people very early in my career, starting back at my very first holistic health center was the Center for Health and Healing. And it was at the Cedars-Sinai Medical Office Towers at 8631 West 3rd Street in West Hollywood. And at that juncture in my career, I was just starting out and I was still paying down student loans. And I was teaching Kundalini yoga, mindfulness meditation, as a means for surviving when you first start out your private practice. And in one of my yoga classes, a woman whose husband was a producer in Hollywood, she sent him in to come in for counseling, and he was suffering from bipolar disorder. And his greatest fear was, well, if I do this yoga and this meditation, and or if I go on lithium, which is a salt, I'm afraid it's going to take away my highs, my mania, because, you know, I'm so creative when I'm coming off my manic high. And it took me many, many months to kind of really negotiate with him, because you can't really tell someone what they should do.
Although
oftentimes I do tell people, I don't think you should do that.
Yeah.
When you're flying high in mania.
Right.
And you're filled with creative ideas, I don't think you should get on the phone and start calling CAA and ICM and telling them about, you know, the greatest next screenplay that's ever to be written. And so over time, I was able to get patients who were really suffering with bipolar disorder, but were enormously gifted to undergo taking some forms of medications. Back then, though, of course, in history, most of the medications were just absolutely horrifically terrible.
Except with the side effects.
Oh, just terrible. You know, the pre-psychiatric designer meds, you know, were literally medieval. I mean, they were just effects they had on people, oftentimes more damaging than whatever it was that they were suffering
with. I agree.
And so what I used to do is I would negotiate with them to come to my yoga classes in the evenings and also to start a daily mindfulness meditation practice. And I promised them that over time, because I myself, I come from a long line of Irish depressives. My own father was bipolar. Now, fortunately, it skips a generation. And so it skipped me. But melancholia and what they call dysthymia.
Yes.
Didn't skip me, you know.
Okay.
I've had to deal with that lifelong, you know, the intense, melancholic, dark moods. However, what I discovered with myself and then, of course, with patients is the darkness of any form of depressive mood is like an ocean that we swim in. But when we're in that ocean, we're not really creative. It's when we, when the healthy warm wave comes and it drops us and lands us on the beach.
Yes.
The metaphor of dry land, ground, that's when we have the opportunity to become more creative. Once I was talking with Leonard Cohen, the great singer, songwriter, extraordinary, prolific poet. And he said, yes, that ocean I swim with and I've swam in and I'll probably be swimming in my whole life. However, I never really created from swimming in the depressive ocean.
Right.
I was created in what we call the shift state. And so one of the things that I did, Lisa, is I interviewed 10 different well-known creatives in music, art, film, and television in Broadway. And I also did hundreds and hundreds of hours of research on people who suffer from depression and bipolar disorder in great creative people throughout history. And people who are interested, if they read the book Core Creativity, that's my new book, they'll have synopses of all these various types of emotional and mental disorders in their relationship to creativity. And one of the biggest takeaways to unpack is that the fuel for being creative can come out of pain and suffering and the high and the low. That's sort of like a fuel, but you have to get grounded in balance to actually do healthy, creative work. Anytime in my own personal life, if I've been tormented or I was going through a breakup of a relationship, or you know, once my house came down the hill in Laurel Canyon.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, it was so painful, and my dream home. And for years, I was really suffering. But there came a time where the shift state occurred. Like you wake up in the morning, and it's as if the fog around the bridge in San Francisco has receded.
Yes, beautiful analogy.
And the sun comes out. And then I remember getting up in for days and weeks and months, writing and organizing all of my university lectures. And I had this, like, incredible new resiliency. So people who suffer but are creative, they need to remember that there's always the shift state.
Does that shift state have to do with the absorbing mind that you talk about, Dr. Ron?
Well, in the book, there's three qualities that I talk about that make a axiomatic formula for how to be more in touch with your creativity. And so there's three states of mind. Absorbing mind is the first state, where I encourage people to go out and to go to museums, art galleries, go to symphony concerts, go take in rock concerts, take in music that you like. Let's say you're into rock and roll and you never listen to jazz.
Okay.
I'll say to somebody who's a musician, I want you for the next month to take in jazz as much as you can, because something happens in the neurons of your brain when you go outside of the formula that you usually are used to feeding yourself and nourishing yourself with. So absorbing mind, I'll give you an example. I was at the tail end of the U2 tour in 1993 in Dublin, and I ended up socially. Sitting in the hotel pub, because I was on the same floor as the band. With the lead guitarist, Edge, and his lovely wife, Morley. And we were talking, and he described to me, he said, after we finished the Joshua Tree record, which was really, it was a pinnacle
of
activity for them. He said, we really felt that we had exhausted the arc of our creativity from the time we were unknown and we first became known as a punk band. And it's hard to imagine you two as a punk band.
It is.
But if you go into history on YouTube and you type in U2 punk stage.
Interesting. Cool.
They evolved from punk. And so he said that what they did was they decided as a band, is they do everything together. There's no one individual leader. Very similar to the Beatles. There was always four. And then U2, there's four. And they decided that they would leave Dublin and they'd go to Berlin, of all places, where it's cloudy and rainy and cold and damp. And there are underground music clubs and there's an enormous amount of art and culture and music. So that's absorbing mind, stage one of core creativity. Go out and immerse yourself and absorb as much as you can and take that in. The second stage of core creativity is open mind. So after you've gone out and you've absorbed as much creative nutrients as you can, as well as you can sit at home and you can read books on art, or you can pick up Yoko Ono's wonderful book called One. And it's like all about the life of an artist and all of her earlier photography experiments and her music. And it's just an extraordinary deep dive. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes, I have it here somewhere. I oftentimes will sit with that for an hour or two and just take in, let it nourish me. So that's absorbing mind. The second stage in core creativity is what I deemed open-mindedness or open-mind consciousness. And that grew out of not only my study of all the great musical composers like Beethoven and Mozart and Tchaikovsky and Da Vinci, is when we were talking in Dublin after the concert, the Edge said, for months and months and months before they went to Berlin, he was having dreams and he was getting downloads of this entire new direction for their music, which then after they went to Berlin became Achtung Baby.
Okay.
And so when you listen to Joshua Tree, which, you know, soaring, spiritual, symphonic melody. And then you turn on Achtung Baby and you say, this is the same group?
Because
they went in a completely 180-degree different direction. And he said he was dreaming. He was dreaming the sounds, dreaming the lyrics. He's a yogi. He meditates. He does yoga.
Yes.
Received downloads. And so he asked me, he said, well, you know, what do you call that? I mean, what do you think about that? And I said, well, what you're experiencing is what all the great creatives, poets, philosophers, writers, musicians, Mozart used to hear this symphony in its entirety, and he would be writing the string section and he would simultaneously be hearing every other aspect of the symphony, like in this overwhelming, extraordinary way. And I said, that's open mind. Your,
it's beautiful.
Your consciousness has broken free of the ordinary waking state of ego mind that we usually identify as myself. But that's a very, very limited frame in space and consciousness.
Yes.
When you can drop the personal self, and in core creativity, and in my first book too, I talk about that you go into nobody training. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I learned from Ram Dass when I was a very, very young man in Amherst, Massachusetts. And he said that you have to take time on the spiritual path. As you're trying to become somebody, and you're working on becoming somebody, when you're in psychotherapy or psychoanalysis or any form of healing, mind-body healing method.
Yes.
You have to build up the self, because most of us, because of our childhoods and or some scaric genetic patterning, we have a certain amount of deficit, emptiness, lack of fulfillment, low sense of self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Ramdas said, we first have to build you up so you can become somebody. And then in the Buddhist tradition of wise mind and no mind, then you can let go of the ego and you can become nobody. And becoming nobody really is a metaphor for moving from knowing, you know, the ego mind that knows, to not knowing.
And so being, I sense.
Being, yeah. Absolutely, so being.
Yeah. You're answering everything I've wanted to raise so far. Please keep going.
Let me do.
Yeah, keep going.
Three in core creativity. So you have absorbing mind, nourishing, nurturing, either sitting at home and listening to music and going through books or going out into the world, which I do all the time, whether I'm in New York or I'm here in Los Angeles. Open mind. So then you're getting the individual ego out of the way, mm-hmm. getting it quiet so that the big mind, you can expand into big mind. And then the third stage of core creativity for creatives, I found, is that the third stage is called activating mind. See, one of the problems that, for example, I was talking about bipolar disorder earlier, is one of the problems with mania and hypomania is, yes, the rocket upthrust of the mania drops you into this incredible place where you think you're going to come up with the greatest new mind-body healing program that's ever been on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be writing for hours and hours, and there's all this wild free-floating of ideas and flight of fantasy. But it's very ungrounded. In activating mind, you'd have to chunk things down, structure, be grounded, and then take all the downloads that you receive and create something with it. You have to take action. It's not enough just to receive. It's not enough just to open into open mind, but you mm-hmm. must activate and to put into everyday mind, something that you wish to invent or innovate around or reinvent or invent with some sense of fresh, unique originality.
Dr. Ron, when we're in that open mind state of being, is that when our minds are connected with universal mind, or would it be more in the activated mind state?
No, that's right, Lisa. When you're in open mind, you have access to your own personal unconscious. But more importantly, the Swiss psychiatrist, the very first spiritual psychologist, Carl Jung, he introduced to us that there's the personal conscious, there's the preconscious, there's your personal unconscious, and then there's the collective unconscious. And the collective unconscious is part of that universal mind. And so, for example, we say in the Vedas that there are information banks called the Akashic Records, where all records of all wisdom, knowledge, information, they're stored.
Yes.
That's in big mind. That's universal mind. In also in the Akashic Records, just because we're using that as a metaphor, all music is there, all poetry, all imagination. And so you break free of the individual self, and you expand into collective unconscious. You expand into infinite, pure, pristine, non-dual spaciousness of pristine creativity. Mm-hmm. And so you're able to tap in. And so another thing that I write about in the book Core Creativity is downloads.
Yes.
So we can get a download literally from that sense of, oh, that idea came from above. I was in Greece and I was swimming one afternoon and I got a whole chapter while I was swimming in the water. Got the whole chapter from beginning to end. Just sort of like a computer printout. And I went, wow. And, you know, I went back to my casa and I typed it all out nonstop, like 4 or 5 hours, and then went out to dinner around 10 or 11 o'clock at night that night. So that's a download.
Yes.
Then, out of great respect for Mother Earth, Gaia, the feminine. See, all creativity really is not a masculine energy. Activation is how we tap into the masculine energy to get something made.
Got it.
But creativity in its essence comes from the mother, the ma, the feminine, the yin, the receptive. And so the second portal, one is the download. The second portal is what I call the upload from Gaia, from Mother Earth. I encourage people who want to feel creative, take your shoes off, go outside, walk around in your backyard, in the grass,
yes,
put your feet into mud. And why do we want to do that? Well, in India, which we call the Mother India, every time I've been to India, I always ask, I want to go to the White Lotus Farms. And what does the most beautiful flower in India grow in?
Mud.
Mud. And mud is the symbol of alchemy and the shadow and working with the dark side. So we want to immerse ourselves in the mud to become more creative. And then the third, so there's the download, there's the upload from Gaia, Mother Earth, getting more in touch with your femininity, respecting the mother, respecting the yin, female receptivity, the softer, the gentler aspects of the self are important, paying homage to that. And then the third is what I call an inload. And an inload comes from the heart. I suggest to people that want to become more creative to meditate not only on your third eye in the Ajna Center, which is about intuition and psychic and healing ability, but to meditate on the heart center.
Yes. I feel that getting warm and vibrating. I imagine breathing through my heart, and just you can really feel an activation there when you center your breath in that area of your body. And it's blissful to drop into that place.
Yes. And so I teach a simple meditation where I ask people to put their left hand on their actual physical heart and then the right hand on top of that, and to go inside and to spend 5 to 10 minutes a day just receiving from the inload, from the inside out, from the intuitive, subtle quality of self-experience.
It's beautiful. I've always felt an affinity for you and your work and the way that you actually are able to communicate these ideas and these experiences that are in the metaphysical world and make them really practical. I love so much in your work, Dr. Ron.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. And you've addressed the things I was going to speak to you about regarding in Core Creativity, where you write about the role of dreams. And you talked about that when you were with the U2, when you were with Edge, and he shared with you his dream and what that was about. And I also like your no self meditation in the book that you offer.
Yes, the no self. That's wonderful.
Yeah. And Dr. Ron, you know, it's so the work that you're doing in this book with the mind, I am going to share with listeners a drink called Magic Mind that not ironically, is really about having a clear and open mind. Mm-hmm. And when we come back, I'd like for you to just kind of close up with us some parting thoughts and ways that we can add to our lives principles found in core creativity. So as Dr. Ron is talking about the power of our mind and sitting to receive, getting beyond our ego mind and our bodies, even kind of constant demands or needs, it can be hard if you're experiencing anxiety. And that's why my favorite drink is called Magic Mind. It is a little 2-ounce shot filled with delicious things like echinacea, vitamin C, matcha, ashwagandha, and I know I just mispronounced that, forgive me, turmeric, lion's mane mushrooms, cordyceps mushrooms, and these ingredients help our minds to focus. They contain properties that naturally relieve anxiety, and I feel it in the morning as I drink it next to my coffee. I want to offer it to you. Take 40% off a monthly subscription or 20% off a one-time order. Please go check out Magic Mind. They are at magicmind.co/LisaT, my name, and use the code LisaT20 for either 40% off a 1-month subscription or 20% off an order. And tell me if you are not feeling more relaxed and focused. Forbes calls it the world's first productivity drink. That's a powerful statement by Forbes. Okay, Dr. Ron. How do you feel like concluding things with us? I feel in this beautiful meditative place with you.
Well, one thing is just so that people have, I'd like to give people gifts. And so I would suggest that they apply 3 fundamental useful principles to become more of a core creative. And that's number one is every night you're the recipient of a whole host of dreams, and to, when you wake up in the morning, to write your dreams down or talk them into your iPhone or your mobile phone, and then work with them. Listen to them. Try to extract out themes of feelings, of imagination, of ideas, of directions, of spiritual lessons. The dreams also come from the wisdom self. And so there's always nuggets of wisdom, you know, when you're trying to make a decision about something. Don't try to do it with your conscious mind. I say to my patients all the time, I think it's time to have a series of dreams about making this decision. Let's see what your unconscious wants to do. Second,
I love that.
Is it my wheelhouse is mindfulness meditation, but I have studied most of all the major meditation disciplines and cross-cultural systems of yoga and meditation and spiritual pathways. So take some form of meditation, you know, mind's mindfulness. It can be Christian prayer. It could be contemplative prayer, transcendental meditation. But meditate 12 to 20 minutes once or twice a day. Every morning I sit for 40 minutes, and then after we're finished here, I'll go and I'll sit for another 20 minutes. And a certain amount of, say, 5 or 10 minutes of that time is just receiving, just opening into open mind. And then the third thing is to get out in nature as much as you can. Hopefully you can do it every day, because of all the core creators I've studied, and there's actually a book that someone else has written called The Daily Rituals of Creatives, is one of the great similarities is creatives go out into nature and either take what's called a daily walk. Because when you're moving, there's a concept in bioenergetic therapy that when there's more movement, there's more breathing, and then there's more feeling. It's like, it's like a triangle. More movement, more breathing, more feeling. And so to get out into nature, go and sit by a stream, go walk and take a hike, go off into the woods, lay down in the meadow in the afternoon and with sunglasses on, look at the clouds for 10, 15, 20 minutes. If you're sitting at the ocean, just sit there. No agenda, just receiving. and to practice those three things as much as you can. And they will enrich you. They will feed you. They will nourish you. There's the fuel for the creative.
Dr. Ron, I agree 100%. You can even feel, I feel when I sit at the ocean and just receive, it's powerful. It's a physical experience, even the waves, the energy, and just to, I let my mind just kind of be absorbed in those sounds. And I start to feel at one with all of everything of creation, with creation. And that's what you're talking about in this beautiful book, Core Creativity. Thank you for taking your time with us, Dr. Ron.
Pleasure always to be with you, Lisa.
Always. So much love to you.
And congratulations on your new book.
Thank you, Dr. Ron. I appreciate that so much from you. And you endorsed it, which is such an honor for me. Thank you.
Of course.
Big love to you and happy holidays.
Namaste.
Namaste. That concludes today's show with Dr. Ronald Alexander. Get his book here, Core Creativity, The Mindful Way to Unlock Your Creative Self, everywhere books are sold. And check out his website, ronaldalexander.com. All of my love to you, however you're celebrating this holiday season. I will be back with you next week with another episode. All of my love. Mwah.
And that's a wrap. Thank you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review All Things Therapy on the platform you're listening from. And let's connect on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at NOLA Therapy, the abbreviation for New Orleans, Los Angeles Therapy, reflecting my two favorite cities. And let's keep changing consciousness one conversation at a time.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.